And all God's people said, Amen. Music often speaks deeper than words. Thank you, Bell Choir. Well, we are continuing our series looking at Paul's two letters to the church in Thessalonica. Last week we heard how the Thessalonians were pleasing to God by giving God the respect and honor he deserves as they arranged their time. And we heard how we can be ready for a spiritual conversation, because today might be the one and only time that your friend, your coworker, your neighbor, your family member might want to ask you something faith-related. This week we are looking at what made the Thessalonians truly special to Paul. Paul's letters to the Thessalonians are sometimes known as the epistles of friendship because his comments about the people in this church are some of the highest examples of friendship in all of Scripture. What made them so special to Paul? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. He has told us also that you always remember us kindly and long to see us just as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers and sisters, during all our distress and persecution, we have been encouraged about you through your faith. For we now live if you continue to stand firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it was a good time to be in the printing business. My dad's family had recently sold their Pepsi-Cola bottling plant, and my dad was looking for a new career, and our neighbor happened to own a major printing company based in Austin, Texas, where I'm from, and he asked my dad to help him. Around this time, a certain product was becoming popular. I know this is a while ago, but you may have heard of this product. It's called the personal computer. Okay. It may just be a fad, but, you know, we'll see. And there was a company that made these personal computers. You also may have heard of International Business Machines, IBM. Okay, you're with me so far. All right, good. And so as their computer empire expanded, they needed to print up manuals that people could use to know how to use these computers. And they needed a ton of manuals very quickly. And so my dad helped our neighbor expand the printing business rapidly enough to fulfill this huge demand for paper computer manuals. But then a funny thing happened. Shortly after our neighbor's company purchased these shiny, new, enormously expensive printing presses to fulfill this need for manuals, IBM and the other computer manufacturers had a different idea. Hey, instead of printing out these giant manuals and giving them away with every computer, what if we just made the manual a digital file that was on the computer? Almost, there are some people here, if you're much younger than me, you've probably never seen a printed computer manual, right? They used to actually come with them. But almost overnight, massive demand for these printed computer manuals fell off a cliff. And those shiny, new, expensive printing presses sat idle. Chasing that printing contract with IBM actually led to the business being closed. It was fun. It was a profitable ride while it lasted. But when it stopped, the business couldn't exist without it anymore. It was fulfilling for a little while, but it didn't last. Now, if you're a fan of any sports team, you probably know this feeling well. You know, one minute you're on a roll and you're thinking, we're gonna dominate, you know, for years, and then poof, it's all gone, right? Overnight, it can disappear. This was actually one of the reasons why I left my job as a computer programmer. There were interesting problems to be solved, and I like solving problems, but once the problem was solved, we'd get back to the monotonous bug fixes. At the end of the day, it just didn't feel fulfilling to me, that I solved this problem to allow, you know, Fritos chips or Scheinerbach beer to be slightly more profitable thanks to machine vision and industrial automation. That didn't fulfill me. I was briefly fulfilled by solving the technical problems. That was fun. But I didn't derive lasting fulfillment once the problems were solved. But since I became a pastor, I discovered something useful to know, really interesting. Churches are an endless source of new problems. I'm not talking about you, but the person down the row. It's interesting to see what has lasting value to Paul in our text today. In our first text, he said, "What is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming?" What's of lasting value? "Is it not you? Yes, you are our glory and joy," Paul says. These people have lasting value. Then he said why it was worth sending his good friend Timothy, sending him away from the work they were doing together to this community in Thessalonica. He said, "We sent Timothy, our brother and co-worker for God, to strengthen and encourage you for the sake of your faith." It was worth losing his co-worker in the faith, Timothy, because strengthening the faith of the people in this church and the encouragement they would receive from the strengthening in their faith, that had lasting value. It was worth it. In our second text today, Paul said, "For we now live if you continue to stand firm in the Lord." He derived a sense of purpose, a sense of fulfillment from the firmness of the faith of the Thessalonians. Their success was his success. They had lasting value in Paul's eyes. Their growth as people was worth his time, was worth his energy. He even says they were worth his suffering because they were worth it as people. Now for me, as I look through my life, the things that I'm proud of are the times when I've helped someone grow as a person or grow in their faith and it actually affected their lives. Most of those examples are from ministry. You know, I can point to, you know, a handful of people that had like an epiphany during a small group or a Bible study and their life, you know, was never the same, or students that I mentored in leadership, or I've had many interns over the years, some of whom found their life purpose. So a lot of ministry examples, those are more obvious. But if you're not in ministry, I can also point to, you know, things from work life, like helping a lawyer automate his business so that he could spend more time with his family. I'm proud of that too. The software was interesting for a while, but knowing that he was able to invest more time with his family, invest more in his marriage, that to me has lasting value through the work that I did. So where can you find lasting value in your life? At work or school, is there someone who could benefit from your time? Or if you're in a group here at the church, is there anyone who could benefit from you inviting them to coffee or to lunch or even to meeting regularly? In your family, is there anyone who could use more one-on-one time? Where can you find lasting value in your life? And as Paul shows us, people are worth it. People are special. Things usually are not. Another thing that is special in our text today is prayer. But not just any kind of prayer. I don't know if you caught those last few verses are Paul's prayer. Let me read it for you again. "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you." He's praying to come back to Thessalonica. "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints." So to recap, Paul prays for three things. He prayed to be able to return to Thessalonica himself, to be with them. He prayed that they would abound in love for one another and for all. And Paul prayed that they would be holy and blameless before God. And I guess you could throw in a fourth thing, because he mentions this. He prayed for Jesus to come again soon. Those aren't very generic prayers. Right? Those are pretty bold prayers. Those are very specific prayers. Paul is like the opposite of a fortune cookie. You know, like a fortune cookie is written to be so generic it could apply to whomever is opening it up, right? Whereas Paul's prayers were so specific that even, you know, almost 2,000 years later, we can look back and go, well, did that happen? Anyone can tell whether these prayers happened or not. He didn't hedge his bets on the prayer. He prayed boldly and specifically. By contrast, have you ever noticed in our society that the phrase thoughts and prayers is kind of like generic and like become a meaningless cliche? Some people even are offended or insulted if you respond with, you know, thoughts and prayers or the emoji equivalent. If you've ever read online comments, which I don't recommend, by the way, but if you've ever read online comments, especially like after a tragedy, there'll be people who respond, you know, thoughts and prayers are with them. And then, inevitably, someone will reply to that, well, why don't you actually do something about it? That happens all the time online. So telling someone, I'm praying for you, might actually make them dismiss you or think that you don't really care. Generic, general prayers are often dismissed as worthless in our society today. But Paul didn't pray that way. Paul didn't pray generically, he prayed very specifically. That's why I love to ask people, how can I pray for you specifically right now? Because I don't know how they would actually want me to pray for them. Like in hospitals, you would think everyone would have the same prayer, right, to get better. But no, I've received many different kinds of prayers. Some people are wanting to pray, hey, I want to get out of here and get home as quickly as possible. Pray for that. Maybe later today. Right? And other people are like, I don't care how long this takes. I want you to pray for this to be made well, to be fixed. And other people are lonely in the hospital and say, can you pray for my family members to be inspired to come visit me? Those are three prayers prayer requests I've actually received asking people that question. I don't know without asking them how to pray for them specifically. But those are much better to be able to pray with that level of specificity. I had lunch with a church member this last week, and we talked about the difference between generic and specific prayers. And he told me that he usually experiences just kind of getting brushed off whenever he tells someone he's praying for them and that prayer makes a difference. That's usually what he tells them. And they interpret that as kind of like the generic thoughts and prayers meme, right? They just write them off. But he told me about his prayer practice and how he prays, and it is so far from generic. He says he spends between an hour and 2 hours a day praying for people specifically by name and specifically for situations in detail. Now, that is not generic, right? That's probably not going to be the average prayer experience of most people here. I won't ask you, but I don't think that's going to be normal. And so I told him, you know, maybe the next time you tell someone you're praying for them, maybe say, you know, hey, I take 1 to 2 hours a day to pray for people by name. I'm going to pray for you tomorrow. Is there any way you would want me to pray for you? That's a very different thing than saying, I'm praying for you and prayer makes a difference. Right? It's much more specific. Or if they're brushing them off because they really don't believe him that prayer matters, you know, share just a little snippet of some of these things he's seen. Like, you know, this is a story he actually has. You know, I've prayed for people who had a less than 1% chance of surviving and they're alive 11 years later. I've seen that through prayer. It doesn't happen every time, but I've seen it happen. Can I pray for you? That's way more specific, right? That's harder to just brush off as, oh, thoughts and prayers. The next time you're praying for someone, I encourage you to follow Paul's lead and pray specifically for them. And if you don't know how to pray for them, ask them. If you have a specific prayer request yourself, that's why we have those little blue prayer request cards in the pew rack in front of you. Write your specific prayer request down. Put it in the offering plate, and then our staff prays over those every Wednesday. That goes to our prayer ministry as well. We can pray for you specifically. Generic prayer is usually brushed off, but specific prayer is special. And one of those specific prayers that Paul mentioned is very interesting. He said, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. Paul didn't pray for them to only love one another within the church. He didn't just pray, may you have the longest, most loving passing of the peace imaginable, right? He prays for them to abound in love for one another, but also for all. At my previous church, we organized annual all-church serve days. You know, we'd like paint rooms for nonprofits or organize food at the food bank or for those who couldn't do heavy lifting, we organized writing letters and notes of encouragement and made care packages we sent to college students and military families. My group was usually at an elementary school where we would weed their playground and remulch it all in one day, which they loved. And this achieved several things. At the time, I was in charge of the small group ministry at the church, and I told the small group leaders, your greatest challenge is not going to be picking your next study. Your greatest challenge is going to be keeping the group from just sitting around looking at their belly buttons. Navel gazing. When people in a group just sit around thinking about themselves, and that's all they do, the group becomes like stagnant water. Moving water is life-giving. It's refreshing. Stagnant water is detrimental to your health. A group that only looks inward will start to decay every time. So Serve Day was useful for everyone because it gave everyone a reason to stop looking at their belly buttons and actually demonstrate love and care and concern for someone else, to think beyond the church and to actually engage the local community. But interestingly, the best results from that were when those navel-gazing small groups decided to serve together at the same work site. When groups served together, they carried their Serve Day experience throughout the entire year. They became living, moving water all year, thanks to that day of showing love for one another and for all. It set the table for the whole year of serving together as a group. Their groups improved dramatically when they served others in the community together. And so perhaps you are already demonstrating love for people in a group that you're a part of. Perhaps you're already demonstrating love for friends or family, but are you demonstrating love for all, as Paul says? Or Jesus himself, he told us to go and make disciples. He told us we'll be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And when Jesus' followers were spending time with him, he eventually sent them out two by two. He didn't tell us to sit around and wait for people to come to us. He sent us out into the world. And when the groups in my previous church in Bethlehem did that together, those groups became special too. Sisters and brothers, the church in Thessalonica was special to Paul. Paul saw their success as his success. They brought lasting fulfillment to him. Paul prayed for them, specifically, not generically. He loved them and yearned for very specific things for them. And they were special because they demonstrated love for one another and also for all in their community. How special do you want to be? And how special do you want this church to be? Amen.